Hello, would you please state your name, the date, the time, and your location?
Yes, my name is Sonora Reyes. Date is August 4th, 2022. It is 3 o'clock Eastern Time, and my location is Tempe, Arizona.
And do you consent to having this interview recorded, digitally uploaded, and publicly released under Creative Commons License Attribution, Non-Commercial Share Alike?
Yes.
Thank you so much. Would you please start by introducing yourself to anyone who might find themselves listening? What would you want them to know about you?
My name is Sonora. I am a YA author. I am a pretty new author. My book just came out in May of 2022. And yeah, I live in Arizona. I've been writing for most of the pandemic. So, yeah.
What does the word pandemic mean to you?
I guess like just a like global sickness.
Would you tell me a story about your life during the pandemic?
So earlier in the pandemic, my family was all living together. Like in the beginning of the pandemic, it was me, my parents, my sisters, and their spouses, and their kids, and then our dogs. So there was about 10 of us living all together in like a 4-bedroom house. And it was hard because everybody had different ideas of what like safety was during the pandemic. This was like very early days. Nobody really knew like what to do. And I was the one that was very much like, okay, we have to wear masks, we have to stay home, we're not going out to restaurants, we're not doing this and that. And I was like bossy, like kind of telling everyone like what to do. But for me, it was like safety because I'm high risk. And not everybody agreed with me, and so I eventually had to move out. Because I wanted to live where I was able to quarantine, because you can't quarantine if the people you live with are not quarantining. So I had to move. It was my first time moving like out of my parents' house since, yeah, so it was like a big deal for me. I ended up moving back a couple like years later, so like later in the pandemic, and now I live there again, because everyone decided that they were gonna be safer, and then the vaccines happened, and so we were all able to feel a little bit safer. But yeah, I think I had like a really hard experience with like the living situation, and all of that.
Would you share more about the process of deciding to move out? And then, like, how does one actually like move places? How did you find a place to live? What did that look like?
Yeah, so it was a pretty easy decision for me because I knew that I needed to take care of my health, and some other people in the household didn't fully understand what they needed to do in order to keep me safe. And I don't think that any of us knew how serious it was at the time, but I was very much expecting it to be very serious. And so I had a couple of friends who were also very much expecting it to be very serious. And I knew that they would be quarantining. So I decided to move out. At first, it was like, oh, well, I'll move out for a couple of months until this dies down. And then it just ended up being a lot longer than that. But I ended up finding a roommate in one of my friends, who just happened to have one of their roommates move out like right when I needed to move. So they had like an open room and rent wasn't too bad. So I just decided to like pick up and move. And I only moved with like one suitcase because I thought it wasn't going to be that long. So I basically lived out of a suitcase for like a year.
Do you remember when you first heard about COVID-19?
Yes. I don't remember the specific incident, like the first time that I heard the word, but I know that the first time it was relevant to me was when, so my grandpa passed away like very early in the pandemic, like in like February, like before lockdown happened, like February of 2020. But we were all still pretty like aware of COVID, just not knowing how serious it was. And so the funeral happened, and it was nobody knew like how to act around each other because everyone wanted to hug because it's a funeral, but nobody wanted to like touch each other because of COVID. So it was a really like weird experience. And I think that was like the first time that like I remember COVID being like a big deal in my life.
Were there certain things that you did differently at the funeral than you may have otherwise because of that sort of awareness that there was this thing happening?
Instead of hugging, we like touched elbows. So we would just like go and like touch everyone's elbows to your elbow. And that was like our way of like, I don't know, supposedly like being safe. Some of us were wearing masks. But at the time, it wasn't like masks weren't like a thing yet, like unless you were sick. So yeah, it was mostly the elbows that I remember being different.
To the extent that you're comfortable sharing, would you say something about your experiences with health and healthcare infrastructure pre-pandemic?
Pre-pandemic, my health has kind of been like in a gradual decline for the past few years, like pre-pandemic included. And yeah, I guess the pandemic just exacerbated that. But pre-pandemic, I was still pretty like, I've been disabled for a while pre-pandemic. And I'm sorry if the question was what was my experience with like health and healthcare pre-pandemic?
Yeah.
Okay, yeah. So I guess I wasn't going to like doctors all the time or anything like that. And a lot of my experience pre-pandemic was with a specific doctor who I ended up leaving before the pandemic started. And it was an interesting experience. I took a long time to find a doctor that I really felt cared about me, because a lot of doctors will just kind of dismiss you, or like I'm overweight, so they'll say like any health problem I have, oh, it's because you need diet and exercise, when like they don't know if I'm getting diet and exercise, they just know that I'm fat. So like then I finally found this doctor who seemed to actually care and like ask questions. But she kind of cared a little too much. Like she would lecture me about things, and like it kind of crossed the line at one point. And I had to leave. But it sucks because I haven't been able to find somebody that like cared to that level or to any level close to that since then.
Could you say something about the importance of feeling like your healthcare providers care about you?
Yeah, it's so important because, especially right now when everything is so, like, everyone is getting sick, and it's really hard to feel like your healthcare providers don't care about you when you go in and you feel like they, like, you're just another person that they have to deal with, instead of like someone that they're trying to help. And that's how it feels a lot of the time. It just feels like you're an inconvenience to them because you have like health problems that they have to try to figure out what to do with, and they don't, it's not an easy solution. So sometimes it kind of just feels like they don't care. And it can be so frustrating because you don't get better without that help, So it can be really hard to not have a primary doctor who like really cares, because then you just have to keep looking and you have to keep trying. And a lot of the time when you're sick, or if you're chronically ill or in chronic pain or anything that lasts longer than just like a week, you're gonna need to find somebody who's like always there and who can really take care of you and help you. And when you're dealing with that chronic like level of sickness, you're not often able to put in the energy to find someone. So it's really unfortunate that it's not the norm for like doctors to really take the time to like get to know what each individual needs and like really care for them, at least in my experience.
Pre-pandemic, what was your day-to-day looking like?
Pre-pandemic? I started, so I went on disability in 2019. So I started staying home and working from home, like as a writer, and just writing all day at home. So I didn't really do much like the year leading up to the pandemic. Like I just kind of like was recovering and trying to like get better. And I would like try to write at coffee shops and stuff like that, or write with friends if I could. But for the most part, I was just writing all the time. I wasn't working or anything like that.
What was the process of getting on disability like?
Oh, that was a struggle. So I was lucky that I had a job that really supported me in getting on disability. So, like, my job allowed me to go on a short-term disability automatically, like, no questions asked, for 6 months. And the first 6 months, they pay me my full amount. And then after 6 months, they continue to pay me 60% while they got me like a lawyer and people to try to help me get on Social Security disability. So they were helping me while I was trying to get on the other disability. So I had like a unique situation where I was getting paid either way, and it was really nice. Like my job really helped me out there. And I'm so sorry if you can hear the cat meowing in the background. But yeah, so my job was really, really helpful in that. Sorry. Sorry. I don't know if you can hear this or not.
I can barely hear it, and I love this cat already.
Yeah, she's very vocal and sweet. But yeah, so I'm so sorry, I lost track of the question.
You were talking about the support that you were receiving from work in applying to switch from their disability to Social Security disability.
Yeah, okay. So I got denied for social security disability, and my job got me a lawyer to like re appeal it. I think that's the term. And so we went again to try to get it again, and they denied me again. I think it took us like three or four times, like going back and saying, like, no, like, we actually need this. For them to finally approve it, which is ridiculous because so I have like a plethora of disabilities. It's not just one. But the one that I ended up that ended up like sending me out of work, just full disclosure, so I have schizoaffective disorder. I didn't know this at the time. Schizoaffective disorder is schizophrenia and a mood disorder, so depression or bipolar. And I didn't know it at the time, but that was what was going on with me that like made me like have to take time off of work. And I had to go to an inpatient hospital at one point. And so we had like records of me like in an inpatient hospital where like there are doctors saying like I cannot work. And there are people saying like that I need like all this care, and they still denied me like three or four times. So, and I had like the lawyer from my job. So it, I can't even imagine how hard it would be to get disability when you don't have all those resources that I had.
What did it feel like when you were finally accepted onto the Social Security disability?
I honestly was just so tired by that point, and I got accepted shortly before I got my book deal. So I only ended up getting like a couple months of payment out of it, because I got my book deal, and since I got paid for my book deal, I was no longer eligible for disability. So it was it just felt like a lot, a long fight for it to just go away. But it was also a good thing that like I got the book deal, and that was really exciting. So I guess it just kind of overshadowed that.
I'd love to hear more about the writing you were doing pre-pandemic and then into the pandemic, and if anything changed with that.
So pre-pandemic, I started out writing fan fiction. And I was working my old job. Like I worked mornings, so I would get off at, I would get off of work at like 8:30, 9 o'clock in the morning. And then I would come home and write like until I was ready to go to bed, which was like 6 p.m. It was pretty early because I had to work so early. But I would just write all day. And it was really nice, honestly. And then I guess after I left that job, I my health kind of started declining, and I stopped having as much energy to write all day. So I would schedule writing times with friends. Like every Monday I would write at this time with this friend. Every Wednesday I would write at this time with this friend. And like so I started like having scheduled writing meetings with people, because I know a lot of other writers in my area because of National Novel Writing Month, where I met a lot of other writers. I guess after the pandemic, it got a lot harder to write because I was so used to writing with people. Like I have a really hard time writing alone. So I started Zooming with my friends instead of meeting them in person, and we would just like mute ourselves while we're writing and then like unmute to like brainstorm stuff. And I kind of got used to that for a long time. And I had to get used to it at first. It wasn't as productive as meeting an actual person like face to face, but It did help a lot to be able to like Zoom with anyone like anytime. And it had to be like new people because everyone's schedules changed and everything. So, and I got to meet with people who are not local. So that was kind of nice too.
In the sort of short period, like the sort of couple of months after the pandemic started, what was your day-to-day looking like beyond the writing?
Like right at the beginning of lockdown.
Yeah.
Honestly, I didn't really do anything. It was so, like I said, I was living with a ton of people, and we would order our food, or my mom would cook, or my brother-in-law would cook, and we would eat together. So like I kind of had like a situation where I wasn't super isolated in the beginning of the pandemic. It was actually almost the opposite. Like we were all stuck in the house together. like there, it's like a two bathroom house with like 10 people. And we were all like just together all the time. And so like some of us were, it definitely tested our like our ability to our patience and all of that. So but I think it was a good experience for me, and it was a lot better, I think, than being alone. I think once I moved out, I got really depressed because I was like mostly alone. Even though I had roommates, they were like just in their rooms the whole time. So it was, I ended up really missing that like chaotic, everyone's around all the time, moment.
I'd love it if you shared something about sort of what those conversations about needs and boundaries looked like in the home with your family and then later with the roommates.
So with my family, it ended up just being, so I expressed what I wanted, which was full lockdown. I wanted everyone to be fully like quarantined. And I think that was too much for everybody else because I was the only one who's like really high risk. So like to them, it felt like constricting, I think. So it ended up ultimately being that I wasn't willing to enforce it. Like I didn't want to be that person who's like basically the cop being like, okay, well you can't go out and you can't do this and that when they wanted to, even though like I felt like it was for my safety. I didn't want to have to be in that position. So I ended up leaving, and then the conversations with my new roommate, we just had a conversation before I moved in, like, okay, what are your safety, like COVID safety things? What are you like? Are you quarantined? Are you masking? Are you doing this and that? And we were on the same exact page. We were both like wanting to quarantine fully. Like they were like, oh yeah, nobody's allowed in the house. Like it's just us. And so it w we were just like on the same page about it. So we didn't really need to have the boundary talk because we were like pretty much like already an understanding of what we both needed.
What were some of the ways that you were getting information about what would be the sort of best possible steps to take to protect yourself?
I'm trying to remember. I know I was looking at like the news, I was looking at the CDC, and I was looking at a lot of Twitter and like what people on Twitter were saying about like because on Twitter you can see like real people who are saying like I got sick and here's what happened, and instead of like on the news, it just seems like so like intangible, you know what I mean? So I was just reading like real people's stories, and like I just wanted to, for me, it wasn't so much of like, here's what this person is telling me I need to do to stay safe, but it was like, I want to do everything that I can to make sure that this doesn't happen to me. Because like for me, it's better safe than sorry. And unfortunately, I didn't end up getting COVID like when I moved back home. This was like after we were all vaccinated, so it wasn't quite as bad as it could have been, but I do think I have long COVID. I'm not sure like how bad it would have been if I wasn't vaccinated though, so.
Would you share more about catching COVID and the experience of having it, sort of like while it was still active?
I didn't have it for too long, thankfully. My whole family got it, everyone who lived in the house. And geez, I'm trying to remember. I just know that I was pretty much bedridden for a couple of days. I already don't have a lot of energy because I have chronic fatigue syndrome. So I just had like even less energy than I already had. I was getting out of breath by like just standing up would make me out of breath. I had a really bad headache. I didn't get it as bad as some of the other people in my family, which was really surprising because I'm the one in the family who was like highest risk and like has the most like comorbidities and everything. But I think just the vaccine really helped for me. And yeah, I think I didn't get it as bad as like some of the other people in the household.
What were some of the things that you were witnessing with the other people you were living with?
So, it kind of came really slowly. So, like, I think my mom got it first, and we were all trying to quarantine her from the rest of the house for a while. So, it took a few days for anyone else to get sick because she was masking in the house and like all that. But, she sleeps in the same bed as my dad. And so he eventually got sick, and then he takes care of the kids, and then they got sick, and then the kids touch everything. So we all got sick. So it kind of like happened slowly. And I was the last one to get sick because I'm like the most careful out of everybody of like trying not to get sick. Everyone else had kind of accepted we're all going to get sick at that point. But I was very stubborn. I was like, I'm not going to get this. I'm not going to catch this. And I did. But yeah, everyone pretty much, I know my brother-in-law got it really bad. He was like bedridden for like a week, I think. And I'm sorry, I have a really bad memory. So I'm trying to remember specifics, but it's kind of like it's somewhere in my brain, but I can't reach it. So yeah, I know like it was a lot of people in bed. There was a lot of coughing. I know the kids were very coughy, and it was that would freak us out.
What are some of the things you're experiencing now as a part of long COVID?
So, like I said, I have chronic fatigue syndrome, which just means I get tired all the time. And since I got COVID, it's gotten so much worse. I've been needing to sleep a lot more than I used to. So now I sleep like 12 to 14 hours a night and still feel tired like all day. Like any amount of physical activity is really difficult. I walk with a cane. Which I did before, but now I need it a lot more than I did because before COVID, I only needed it sometimes. And now I pretty much need it anytime I leave the house. Just to like save energy. And I've heard, I can't witness this myself, but I've heard that my snoring has gotten really bad since I got COVID. So
And how long ago was it that you caught COVID?
geez, when was that? It was in 2021, or maybe it was early 22. It was after the vaccine. I think it was after we had all gotten our second dose. So maybe it was early this year, like in January, I think.
How did you come to the decision to get vaccinated?
I knew from the very beginning that that's what I was going to do. I just, if there was any way that I could reduce the risk of catching it or spreading it, I was going to do that. And almost everyone in my family was in agreement on the vaccination. Like everyone pretty much wanted to get vaccinated. It wasn't too much of a like, it wasn't a hard decision for us. We just wanted to make sure that we were doing what we could to stay safe.
Once you decided to get vaccinated, how easy was access?
Trying to remember. It was pretty easy. It took a little bit, like you had to look a couple places to like find somewhere that if you wanted to get a certain time. And if you didn't set an appointment, it was a very long wait time. So you pretty much had to set an appointment. I know my mom was able to get vaccinated before the rest of us because she works in education. Which is like essential worker. So she was able to get vaccinated, and she was able to get, I think her and my dad both were able to get vaccinated because it's like you and your spouse, I think. They didn't have to schedule it. They just went, and the lines were like so long. It was ridiculous. Like I went with her, and we were like in the parking lot line for like 2 hours. But then once it opened up to everyone, I ended up getting one of the first slots when it opened up to everyone. Because I was just like re refreshing the page, like constantly trying to find like a slot. So I ended up getting a pretty good like time that was pretty early on. It wasn't too difficult to get it.
How did your body respond to the vaccine?
My arm was a little sore. I was a little tired the next day. Like I was really tired the next day. But other than that, I was fine.
What was it like having your mother as an essential worker while all of this was happening?
I guess I didn't really even put together that she was like she was able to work from home for a while before going back to work. Like 'cause all the schools shut down. She works at the community college. And they like had shut down. So like it wasn't until they went back that she was like really considered an essential worker, I think. Or I think it was just, I'm sorry, my memory is so bad. I think it was just like teachers were considered. I don't know when they went back, but most of the pandemic, or at least the part where I lived there, she was working from home, so it wasn't too different from everyone else.
This is another like tricky potential memory question. So feel free to be like, I don't know. Like this has been a really long 2 years. But 2020 was sort of like notoriously a big year beyond the pandemic. And then 2021 had the same kind of
level of like, oh, it's 2021, still being 2021 about everything. And now we're in 2022, which continues to have its own heaviness beyond the pandemic. I'm wondering, other than COVID-19, what have been some of the other social and political issues on your mind?
So a lot of, I guess, the stuff that's always on my mind is like, I know there was like a lot of stuff going on with like police brutality and a lot of hate towards like Asian Americans, which I guess is related to the pandemic. I think I've been very like focused, not focused, but like I feel like racism has been like a big thing on my mind the past couple of years, like regardless of COVID, like it's just been a constant, like it seems like that's been a big problem.
Would you share more about what you've been noticing in the last couple of years related to racism?
I think it's just like everywhere on like a lot of the time I'll see stuff on the news, and part of it is like also the shootings and everything that's been happening. Like a lot of like Asian workplaces have been like attacked, and like people have like there's just been a lot of that going on. And then of course in 2020, there was like, the big thing with like police brutality, and it's been really like constant, I feel like, since then. And there's been a lot of other things going on where like after George Floyd was killed, there were people that were kind of like divided about it, and like like people protesting and like the protests being handled a certain way, like where police would come and treat protesters a certain way versus how some other protesters get treated. It's just very clear to me that there's just some bias there. I don't know.
I'm curious, what does the word health mean to you?
Health.
Yes.
I guess like it's a very holistic thing, like your physical, mental well-being.
What are some of the things you'd like for your own health and the health of people around you?
I think for me, safety is a big thing that makes me, 'cause my mental health at least, to feel like safe and healthy. And I feel like I can really heal when I feel safe, and I would just love for like everyone to be able to feel that.
Could you tell me what safety means to you?
Yeah, so like for me, I felt very unsafe early in the pandemic when the people that I lived with weren't quarantining, and we all had different ideas of that. And I'm not blaming them. It's not anyone's fault because we didn't know how serious it was at the time. But I didn't feel safe because we all had different ideas of what safety was. And I needed more than what I was able to have at that place. So I think safety is feeling like your health is not at risk, feeling like your well-being is not at risk, that you're taken care of and cared for, and all of that.
May I ask what prompted you to decide to move back home?
It was the vaccine. I felt a lot safer once the vaccine came out, knowing that it was going to make things a lot easier. And also, my family got a lot better about their social distancing, and they had promised me to take certain precautions if I came back because they wanted me to come back too. And we agreed on it, and I ended up coming back with the caveat that we would all get vaccinated and that we would be as safe as possible and make sure everyone's wearing masks when we go out and stuff like that.
You'd mentioned receiving a diagnosis during the pandemic. What's access to more routine non-COVID related healthcare been like for you?
So I used to be on Access Insurance, which is the free Arizona insurance. And that was great. And I feel like I was able to pretty much have like all my needs taken care of. This was like earlier in the pandemic, like way earlier in the pandemic, the first like 6 months of 2020-ish, the first 8 months maybe. Sorry, I lost my train of thought. What was the question? I'm so sorry.
No, you're doing perfect. I had asked about what routine healthcare was like during the pandemic, and you were
Right,
talking about
okay. I'm so
that there were
sorry.
not.
I completely like blanked. Yeah, so I was seeing a doctor regularly, a therapist, and a psychiatrist. But once I got my book deal, I had to go off of that insurance. So now I'm still kind of without a regular healthcare provider or a psychiatrist or anything like that. So I was given like a 3 month supply of like my medication from my last psychiatrist who I recently left. And he was great. So now I'm just waiting to find something else and we'll see how that goes. But I did really like my old psychiatrist. We like met virtually, because of the pandemic, so.
How are you feeling about the immediate future?
I actually feel pretty hopeful about the future. I feel like even though COVID doesn't really seem to be going away, it does seem like it's less severe now that like a lot of the people who are getting sick are not, it's not as high of a death rate. And like people, it's like I've heard that it's heading towards becoming like a common cold that is very like treatable and will go away soon. So,
What are some of your hopes for an even longer term future?
for a longer term future, like hopes for myself or for like the world.
Yes, both and all of them.
Okay, so of course I hope that COVID goes away forever, and that nobody ever gets sick ever again. That would be wonderful. I would love for everyone to be healthy forever. And I know that's not realistic, but that's my hope. And then for myself, I guess I just hope that I can continue doing what I'm doing and writing and continue to make a living doing that.
I know you'd mentioned that this is your first book, so you might not, so you don't have like pre-pandemic comparison points, but what's it been like having a new book come out during the pandemic?
Yeah, it's been wild. So I got my book deal literally on like April 3rd of 2020. So it was really the beginning of the pandemic. And so it kind of got like this huge news that I was going to become a published author, was like in the midst of this huge, like the world was changing. And so I kind of felt like it was a fever dream. Like it didn't feel real. And then it took a couple of years for the book to actually come out. Once it came out, I was actually able to do a few in-person events, you know, like with precautions and stuff. So that's been really nice. I know that I actually am grateful that my book came out when it did, because it was like late enough in the pandemic that I was able to do some in-person events. Whereas I know like if it had come out earlier, I would have done all virtual.
What did it feel like doing the in-person events?
It was a little scary. I actually got a lot of hate about my book coming out online. The day that it came out, it like went viral on like right-wing Catholic Twitter. My book is called The Lesbiana's Guide to Catholic School. So you can imagine how that might make some people a little angry. So a lot of people were upset, to say the least. I got a lot of death threats, a lot of threats, other threats, and just people saying awful, awful things about like me and queer people. And so I was afraid to do the in-person events because I didn't know if anyone was going to show up and cause problems. Luckily, that did not happen. All the in-person events went super smoothly and everything was amazing. Yeah, luckily my fears were false, but it was pretty scary.
I'm really sorry you went through that.
Thank you.
Is there anything else you'd like to share about making this queer work and then having this conservative right-wing backlash against you?
Yeah, it was really frustrating. I guess I kind of knew that I would get some kind of backlash, but I wasn't expecting it to be anywhere near the amount that it was. It went completely viral and like in the wrong space, like not my space. And so it was like all the comments on my post about my book coming out today were like people calling me like a pedophile and a groomer and like for like writing a queer book for teens. And that was really hard to like make this post where I'm like trying to celebrate, and then all the comments, like hundreds of comments, are just people like saying those things. That was hard, but then it did blow up on the other side again, where people started finding that and then defending me. So I did get a lot of support and love on the other side afterwards. So that was actually really nice.
Who Who else has been sort of emotionally supportive of you during the pandemic?
Oh, so many people. Definitely, I feel like my mom has been very supportive. My agent has been super supportive and awesome. Like my whole family, my partner. I've been really lucky to have like a lot of people around me that support me.
What's partnership meant to you?
I'm not really sure how to answer that.
Not specific to your partner, then. Could you give an example of a moment where you needed support and received it from someone?
Oh, okay. Sorry, I think I misinterpreted the last question. I think I misheard you. Yeah, so I think, did you say an example?
Yes.
Okay. Let's see. I feel like there's so many examples that it's hard to pick something, but like on the day that my book came out, my mom had like some of our friends come over and she made like a special dinner with like my favorite foods that like I hadn't eaten in so long. And it was really sweet, and like I feel like that was like a big show of support, and especially like to share that with like my friends and family.
What are some of the ways that you've been taking care of yourself?
I've been trying to forgive myself for needing as much rest as I need, and I've been trying to listen to my body and allow myself what I need. So if I'm tired and need to rest, I need to lay down. Or if I'm hungry, I need to do, like, I think whenever I feel a negative emotion, I just have to ask myself, like, okay, have you slept? Have you eaten? Have you had water? And a lot of the time, the answer is no to one of those things. So I just need to, like, make sure my needs are taken care of.
I'm coming to the end of my questions, and the first of the last is, do you think of COVID-19 as a historic moment, a historic event?
Oh, yes, definitely.
What about it feels historic?
I feel like just the fact that, so many people have been affected, so many people have died, and so many people, like, it's definitely like a huge thing. I don't think, since like the Spanish flu, there's been like anything quite like this.
What do you think scholars in the social sciences and humanities, so departments and fields like English or film or sociology or political sciences, what should we be doing right now to help us understand the human side of the pandemic?
I think honestly, like talking to people and like what you're doing now, I think is great. And like hearing people's experiences, and especially like marginalized people, I think to see like, 'cause obviously there, and I've been very privileged in my experience, like with my old job and like with my family being able to like have somewhere to go, and all of that, and like with my book deal. So I think I've been very privileged in that way, but not everybody is, and especially people who are more marginalized than me might have like very different experiences. So I think it's like really nice to like hear those experiences. And yeah, I'm not really sure like what goes into all of that, but I think, you know, you're doing great.
Thank you. I'll take it. I'd like you to imagine speaking to a historian in the future, someone far enough away that they have no lived experience of this moment. What would you tell them they cannot forget about this moment?
I'm trying to think of how to say it concisely.
It doesn't need to be concise.
Okay. I would say don't forget how I think how quickly it went bad in the beginning. So, for example, I know there was like that crucial 2 weeks or 3 weeks in the beginning where it was like, if everyone quarantined those 3 weeks, we wouldn't be here right now. Like, it wouldn't have gotten to be a pandemic. And I think just knowing that and knowing that like something, if you catch it early, you can like save so many lives. So I think that would be really important to like catch it early and to take action. Like if it's possible, I would be, and maybe this is an unpopular opinion, but I'm like, make everyone stay home, pay them to stay home for 3 weeks, you know, and then hopefully you can avoid 2 years of this.
I want to thank you so, so much for the generosity of your time and the grace and vulnerability of your answers. Those are all of the questions I know how to ask at the moment, but if there's anything you'd like to share that my questions haven't made room for, please take some space and share it.
Thank you. I can't think of anything right now. I think you asked a lot of really good questions, and I pretty much said everything that I can, that's on my mind.
Thank you so much.
Thank you.